Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, I'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is that the Bible study won't meet tonight. I should have realized that it was Mother's Day and that people would want to have to do things with their moms. So please know we won't have that tonight, but that next week, men of the church will host their monthly breakfast meeting at 7:30 a.m. in the fellowship hall, and all men are invited. On Sunday, May 28th, be sure to join us for Pentecost Sunday, which is the birthday of Christianity, the day on which the Spirit descended upon the apostles and on which, under Peter's preaching, so many thousands were converted in Jerusalem, as found in Acts 2. We will observe the sacrament of Holy Communion, and we ask everyone to wear red on that Sunday. So that's 2 weeks away. On June 4th, we'll have a sandwich-making event for A Roof Above in the Fellowship Hall right after worship. Volunteers are needed. Please contact Audrey Brady to sign up or with any questions that you might have. And on June 10th, our men will host the annual Antique Auto Show from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in our church parking lot in front of the Fellowship Hall. Contact Dwight Black if you or someone you know would like to register and plan to bring the whole family to enjoy this blast from the past. The rain date is June the 17th, if needed. Be sure to check out the cookschurch.org new website. We've been working hard on updating it so that hopefully more people will see it and join us here to worship our Lord and Savior as well as at our other events. We're also now on Instagram, so to be sure to find us on Instagram and like us and share us frequently. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in loving memory of my wife, Joan Todd Thompson's birthday, and my son, Mark Todd Thompson, by Norman Thompson. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of God.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the midst of wickedness.
Let us pray. Almighty God, source of all creation, maker of the world and everything in it, you are never far from each one of us, Heavenly Father, and we come into your house seeking you, O giver of life and breath. Reveal yourself to us, dwell with us, and abide in us. We live because of you. We hope because of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, in whom we live, and the Spirit of truth who abides in us, we make these prayers to you this morning. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is hailed as the Prince of Peace, and we, his followers, are disciples that share that peace with the world. As a celebration of that peace-giving mission, let us pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ now.
Thank you. Good thing you caught it.
Sinners. That's the message that we receive in the gospel and the message that we understand about ourselves. But the great good news is that though we are yet sinners, Christ died for us and for our salvation, and in him we can find and trust in God's mercy and grace. One of the things that we do to open ourselves up to that mercy and grace and to feel it and to accept it into our hearts is to confess our sin. We do so this morning using a prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin, remembering 1 John that teaches us that if we say we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, let us confess our sins corporately to the God that we know forgives us. Join me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Christian faith is an ancient one, one in which we've amassed many confessions and creeds. This morning we recite one that is an ancient one, the Apostles' Creed, and we do so because it unites us in our faith and links us with other Christians. So I invite you this morning to join me as we say the words of the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in this morning's bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and ascended to heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 65. Point, we have a time for our kids with Mr. Mike, if we could invite the kids to come down and have a seat on the carpet.
Good morning. How are y'all today? Good day, right? Everybody know what today is for? What's this? What are we celebrating today? Mother's Day. Say it again. Say it louder. Okay. I want them to hear y'all. Okay. I'm going to give you a little history. I didn't know. Denise shared this with me, so I'm going to share it with you guys this week. Oh, gosh. Come on. Come on. More. Have a seat right here. Just over here. Y'all can be putting your monies in there. Okay. Mother's Day, the official flower for Mother's Day is a carnation. It's the favorite flower of mothers around the world. It was a holiday started by a woman named Annie Jarvis. Over time, the custom of a of wearing a white carnation on Mother's Day is to notice that the mother has lost her mother, or the child has lost her mother, is deceased. And a pink, a red one is to signify that she is still alive. Okay, so we wear a white one if our mother has passed, and a red one if she has moved on to be with Jesus, okay? In fact, many carnations, colors have special meanings. A pink carries the rich Christian symbol. According to legends, carnation first appeared on earth as Mary wept while Jesus was carrying the cross. When her tears fell, there appeared a pink carnation to symbolize a mother's undying love. According to the theory, the English word of carnation comes from the word carnis, a Latin word for flesh. From the same root comes incarnations, God's coming to earth in the flesh. Thus, the carnation reminds us of our loving mothers and our will of our loving Savior. Okay, what we're going to do today, with your help, is we're going to pass out carnations to all the mothers. Okay, can y'all help me? All right, so what we're going to ask you, all the mothers here today, please stand. Okay, come and get you a cup of carnations, and we're going to pass them around. The message is on the cards, too. So if you see someone raising their hand, go take them. Once you get yours, you can go ahead and have a seat. Okay. You want to pass them out? You want to pass one out? Okay. Give somebody standing. Come on. I'll help you. Come on. Come on. Oh, we got the choir. Ooh, we better count again. We may miscount it. We'll owe y'all some. If we don't, we'll get you some. Who else? Who hasn't got one yet? We got a little fella here waiting to pass one out. Come on up here. Come on. Got two right here. Come here. Can you take hers? Take them. Here, take them both. Take one to get each one of them. Got, oh! One, two, three, four more. Have we covered everybody yet? You got the choir. You better. Your grandma's up there. Okay, we good? All right. We got four more special items we want to give away. Okay. Are we good? All right. This goes to the oldest mother here today. Who's the oldest? Miss Sarah. Here, you got to get that, Miss Sarah? Raise your hand. All right, I'll take it. Okay, thank you. Okay, our next recipient is who has the most children and grandchildren combined, and great-grandchildren. Who would that be? Any others? Okay, Vera? 12? Offspring and grandchildren?
It's a tie.
It's a tie. Okay, well, we have prepared for ties. So... Here, take these and take that there. And the last one, but not least, is who is the newest mother?
The one with the baby.
The one with the baby. Here, give that to Rachel. Rachel. okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for the mothers.
Thank you for the mothers.
Thank you for their endless love.
Thank you for their endless love.
And their endless care for us.
And their endless care for us.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, one other thing. Grace's Flower Shop donated the carnations.
Oh, really nice.
Our special this morning is the continuation in the month of May of Jewish songs. To the Jews, they could not speak the word of God. His name was so holy that they would not and could not speak it. So they had to come up with a word that they could say that in their minds would not blaspheme the name of God. So the name of God in Hebrew is Yahweh, but there are no vowels. It's YHWH. So they came up with the word Jehovah. And so Jehovah is a word that you will hear a lot. And there are many different words in the Bible for titles for God. And so one of these is Jehovah Jireh. Jireh is the Hebrew word for provider. So this song is called Jehovah Jireh, God My Provider.
Now into a time of reading and proclaiming the word, and we do so as always with a prayer for illumination to get us started. So join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by your Spirit's power, speak to us in this reading and proclamation of your word. Open our ears and soften our hearts so that we might hear a message that you have for us this day. Allow us to hear the words of scripture and sermon in a way that enables us to breathe in your grace and to exhale your mercy, Father God. Enable us in this time to hear you with clarity and with assurance. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Before I start, I want to say how much I love having the drums included in the choir. That's so cool. Old Testament scripture reading today is Psalm 66, 8 through 20. It's page 570 in the Pew Bible. And this is Old Testament at its best, by the way. Bless our God, O peoples. Let him sound his praise to be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip? For you, God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, to that which my lips uttered, my mouth promised, and I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke and sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and his praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice with prayer of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Peace of God.
As many of y'all know, we went to Kairos this week. Kairos is a prison ministry that's dear to my and Clayton's heart. We had a good table. Clayton and I were at the same table this year. It was me, he, another assistant, and six of the residents there, inmates you might call them. And we had the most amazing time. The guys this time were all pretty much Christians coming in the door. But we were able to have some amazing discussions. We were able to drink a lot of juice. I must have had like 10 gallons of Tang while I was there. And a lot of the cookies, they showed up the days that we were hanging out with the inmates. As many of you know, a couple weeks ago we had a cookie party in which the youth and some volunteers came. And we ended up making, it was something on the order of 120 dozen chocolate chip cookies. 120 dozen, did I say that right? Yeah, it was a lot of cookies. And we saw them. Part of that program is that while we're there, a bag of a dozen cookies goes out to every inmate in the joint. And it's an amazing experience to go out and to give those cookies, because you never think that butter, flour, sugar, and eggs can serve as the foreguard of a message of Jesus Christ, but it sure can serve as the vanguard for him, because it begins breaking down walls. And what we see so often with so many people is that we build these huge walls around us in order to keep the bad things out. But what often happens is that we don't allow the good of our lives and our hearts to come out. And that was one of the things we talked about during this week, was just how much God loved us and how loving that we can be as in light of that love. And I mentioned Kairos because it was Kairos that saw me come in on Monday and do the church bulletin for this week, in which I had in mind a passage from the Gospel of John that I was going to preach. It was at Kairos that I realized that I had completely forgotten about Mother's Day. As a result, I hadn't scheduled to do much with it. So I changed. So the passage that we were going to read, I'm not going to read this week. I'm just ahead a week for next week. So I look at it as that way. But today I want to talk about mothers, and specifically how mothers get us to the concept of God more easily. And it's interesting, you know, Mike talked about the founder of Mother's Day. He called her Annie. I think I've read Anna. But whichever one it was a mom in West Virginia, and she got the inkling that there ought to be something more done for mothers. And really she was thinking of a church service. And so she rallied her own church pastor, as well as that she was a Methodist, their conference, and they began having Mother's Day on one particular Sunday. It became such a tradition that Anna Jarvis really advocated to all the way up to the President of the United States of America that there would be this date in time in the year for a celebration of mothers. What's interesting to note is how little Anna came to like Mother's Day, even though it was really a holiday that she spearheaded and made into a tradition in West Virginia and then in the country, she actually didn't like Mother's Day after a while because she saw it becoming too commercialized. She saw every candy and flower company in the world trying to get their hooks into moms on that particular day through their loved ones, and so she came to detest it. Mothers are wise and discerning sometimes, and I think we can all see sometimes that holidays go a little too far in what they're trying to sell to us. Mother's Day should be simple and joyful, a celebration of the people who brought us into this world and a celebration of the people who have nurtured us in it is sufficient. It's mothers that do so much for us and that lead us to faith, that walk with us all the days of our lives, that really can have such a profound impact on us and our growing up. And in fact, it shouldn't be missed that Paul, as he writes to his disciple Timothy, uses mothers as the means by which he gets his hooks into Timothy. You know, this letter that I'm going to read from, 2 Timothy, is written while Paul is literally shackled to a Roman centurion. That was the way that they kept you from running away if you were appealing to Rome, as he might have been, is they shackled you to a Roman centurion to make sure that you made it all the way to wherever you were going to go. So these letters of Paul are written while he's literally shackled to another human being. And it's important that we keep that in mind as we read it, because there's such joy and rhetorical excellence in this letter, it's hard to imagine it being done while anchored to somebody else that while you were on your way to a prison. But I read to you now from 2 Timothy 1, I read verses 3 through 10. Hear now the word of our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So right here at the very beginning of his letter, Paul does something very wise. He uses a little rhetorical firework in order to hook in Timothy into reading more of the letter. What he does is he points back to the faith of his grandmother and his mother. It's a surefire way to draw Timothy further and further in, because as many of us know, invoking our mothers is pretty serious stuff, isn't it? If you want to motivate us, sometimes you'll hear somebody say, you know, come on, make your mama proud, right? Or then if you're doing things not so great, you might hear, did your mama really raise you like that? I've heard that once or twice before, I'm afraid. But this invocation of our mothers is a very serious thing. But I think we'll all agree that the love of God is more comprehensible through understanding the love of our mothers. Now, that's not to say that mothers are perfect, and I don't mean to make that claim at all. Nor can we say it simply that all God is a mother to us, that God's love and his power and passion are greater, but that they can be understood more through the lens of motherhood than perhaps through any other thing. Because as we know, it's mothers that greet us when we come into this world. And it's a lack of a mother that can cause us all sorts of grief and distress in this world. I'll never forget being at the First Presbyterian Church of Mount Holly And we had a partner church in Guatemala that sent over somebody to speak with all of us. And she came, her name was Amanda Godoy de Santos. And Amanda Godoy de Santos spoke to the ladies of the First Presbyterian Church of Mount Holly. And in the course of her talking about how much the church meant to her, she struggled to tell us about her lack of mothering. You see, the streets had claimed her mom before Amanda was even out of diapers. And so she had grown up in a world motherless, without a mother. And because of that, she said there were deficiencies, that she never really found it easy to trust people that were doing good. She didn't quite have the apparatus to understand where that compassion and kindness came from. Why? Largely, she would cite, because she didn't have a mother to show her that kind of love, comfort, and compassion. But we recognize that from the very beginning that our mothers are the ones who are able to comfort us in a way unlike any other. From the very beginning of our lives, and I've seen two now come into the world and seen just how quickly the doctors put them on their mother's chest to provide them a sense of warmth and connectedness, a feeling of comfort. We've got a God that goes to great lengths to comfort us as well. And he's blessed us with the ministry of mothers throughout our lives to get us to those great points. Who can forget coming perhaps off a ball field with our shoulders hunched over and our head hung low after a loss, only to hear our moms remind us that there'd be another game and that this wouldn't be the last word in our lives? Or perhaps who, from smarting from a broken up love connection, didn't go to their moms and hear those fateful words, "Oh, honey, there are more fish in the sea," right? And really, if it had been coming from anybody else, it would have been treated as nonsense or garbage. But because it came from our moms, we were able to listen and hear it just as well. Or who hasn't come into some time of illness or distress? And then isn't it your mom who you seek out first to tell or to get some kind of sense of normalcy in your life? Is she still living? I know I still do to this day, and it is a blessing, to be sure. We recognize that God uses the image of mothering quite a bit in the Bible in order to get us to the fact that God is like a mother in some ways because of his comforting ability. You know, we hear in the Bible over and over and over again, "Do not fear, for I am with you." And it's a means by which we're comforted, knowing that in and through the storms of this life, that there is, in fact, a good and wonderful God that is with us, that is shouldering the burden alongside of us, that is with us. In fact, we heard an amazing story at this Kairos about a man who was up in a prop jet, a propeller jet, waving at his family and friends, and only to hear minutes later absolute silence, which he says is terrifying when you're flying a single-engine plane, because when you hear silence, it means that the engine isn't working. He said that in the panic, an amazing calm and coolness came over him, and he, without question, knew that Jesus was in the co-pilot seat beside him. He said even though that he was in an area that was amazingly wooded and without much of a landing strip, he was able to put the plane down enough so that he was able to live. He glided it in. He credits Jesus that day with being with him, with providing him the wherewithal to get through the difficulty and putting him safely on the land. He said it was an amazingly comfortable feeling, the comfort he felt knowing that God was with him. Even though as he unstrapped, he said, from his seat, he was still suspended in the air. He knew it was all going to be all right, that this God of comfort had comforted him and was continuing to be with him. We hear this language in the Old Testament a lot of like a mother hen. I read to you from Ruth. Boaz says to Ruth these words, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." This image is meant to remind us of what a mother hen does during a storm, and that's to nestle her chicks under her wings. Now, that keeps them out of the storm, but it also exposes the mother to the full force of the storm without any other wings to cover her. She's forced to face the full wrath of the impending storm. When we think about that image, we certainly should think and turn our attention to Jesus Christ, because we know that in his substitutionary death, that Jesus Christ covered us under God's wings and took upon himself the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take the sin of the world. He came and he was able to remove from us the sin that kept us from God's grace and love. And he was able to remove it from us because he was a comforting God. We hear also in Matthew, Jesus says this, Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. God also protects us through his wisdom, and mothers are a big part of that. In fact, it's because I can eat with a fork and know how to set the table and tie my shoes, and I can point to so many things that I've learned as the result of my mom. And most of those have been learned on a very positive basis. But there's also what I also call experiential learning. Y'all know what I mean. It's when you get into a little bit of trouble, right? I'll never forget one time being at Belk's, and this was in the era, do you remember where they had those big circular racks of clothes that people would go through? Well, one day we were at Belk's, and I was bored out of my mind, and I decided it would be a good idea to hide from my mom, right? And that was a good idea, to hide up under those circular racks. And I did so, and I first heard my mom calling out to me, asking for me to come out. And then I think my mom knew where I was, just couldn't see me. Then I heard mom threatening me to come out. And then my mom said the words that would get me out of there: if you don't come out right now, you're grounded forever. Right? It's interesting, as I read Proverbs 31 that deals with a virtuous woman, that one of the things I realized is that one of the chief things a virtuous woman does is keep her family out of trouble through her wisdom. It's her wisdom that keeps her family from making fools out of themselves. In fact, in the very first few lines of that proverb, Proverbs 31, you're going to find that the mom that is good is telling her sons not to drink or to go out with too many women. It's right there at the beginning. So mothers are always keeping us on the straight and narrow, and they're teaching us through their wisdom how to live. In fact, as many of y'all already know, I'm only at church because of the love of a mom. I was in a dark place in life, and my mom started inviting me to church every week. She would call up and say, you know, I'm going to church this Sunday. Do you want to come? And what I said to her most Sundays was, no, Mom, I've got something going on, which was not true. I didn't have anything going on in my life, but I knew I didn't want to go to church. I don't know why. I think I wanted to stay sick in some ways. But Mom kept inviting and inviting, and one day I found it too good an offer to not accept. So I went, and the rest, as they say, is history. And I always get a kick out of this, because when I started going to church and then felt called to be baptized, it was at my baptism that a line of like 20, 65-year-old plus women came up to me with smiles on their faces. And every one of them had the great joy to tell me that they had been praying for me to come to Jesus Christ. And it was a neat experience, because I knew who had been urging those prayers on was none other than my mom. And so I'm always, to this day, humbled. And I'm not the only one. If we look back in history, we'll see a host and a legion of great Christians that have become Christians only through the efforts of their mother. Here I think of St. Augustine or St. Gregory of Nyssa, both of whom had very demanding moms who would simply not let them be darkened by the crud of philosophy and all these other things that they were into. they would just not let their sons succumb to that. And so they kept pushing Jesus into their lives until one day it caught. Much of the theology and doctrine that we have here in the Church of Jesus Christ can be traced to Augustine or to Nyssa. So we know that these mothers not only had a profound effect on their offspring, that their offspring has had a profound effect on the Christian life as well. But mothers aren't just teaching us wisdom, they're also compassionate. I'll never forget coming in one night on a day that I knew Natalie had already worked 9 hours. And she came home and she was boiling binkies and getting bottles set up. And then one time I remember coming into a room where Ben was sick and seeing near tears in Natalie's eye out of compassion. You see, compassion is a gift of God. And compassion is a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with the desire to alleviate it. And we know that mothers are compassionate and have that desire to take away the distress of their children. And I've seen that look on my mom's face when I was sick, and you've probably had it on yours when your children were ill. But there is something about us that just has a desire to comfort. And that comes to us from an almighty God who has compassion on us. Hear these words from Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. We see the Lord's compassion come out so many ways in the Gospels. He sees a blind man and he gives him sight. He sees a lame man and he returns him to walking. And then one day, seeing a mother's grief, he does something else. I read to you from Luke verses 11 through 16. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." In this moment, Jesus Christ sees a woman whose entire world has been turned upside down. She is first a widow, so her husband has died. There's no one to protect her, save her son. But now, as we come into this reading, we realize that the son has died. But Jesus' compassion is so great for the woman that he raises her son then and there. And he does so because God has compassion. We realize that when we read those stories. But God and our moms are also forgiving, are they not? I know mine is. My mom had a prized, notice the past tense. My mom had a prized Waterford crystal vase. I don't know anything about crystal, but I think Waterford is okay because I heard about it a lot. Well, my mom had this Waterford crystal vase. And one day when she was out playing tennis, I decided to chase around after one of the cats. It was a fun little chase. The cat got behind the piano, did a lot of things. It was when he got behind a table and I went careening after him that my foot caught the cord of the Waterford crystal lamp, and onto the ground it fell, cracking into about 7 or 8 big pieces. Yeah, I hear the groans. You could probably hear mine back then. Well, unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of sense. And so my first inclination was that I was going to glue it together. But the only glue we had that I knew about was Elmer's glue. And let me just say this. Elmer's and crystal don't really work. Not at all. So I knew I was in the soup. I knew I was in it bad. But I eventually just had to take my punishment. My mom came home and was understandably upset and sent me to my room. It was sitting there in my room figuring I was never going to get to leave it that I heard a knock on the door. And it, even though my mom had really come into me for good reason on that vase, she wanted me to know something. She wanted me to know that she had forgiven me and that it was all going to be okay. I still had some time in that room, y'all. I still had some hours left to go. But the knowledge that my mom was not going to hold this over my head was a great blessing, an amazing one. Friends, if we think about our life in Jesus Christ, we've got just that amazing message. Although we've done something far worse than break a Waterford crystal vase or lamp, we are not under a penalty of death or doom or damnation. And we know that because of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, took flesh through the Virgin Mary and then went on to live a humble life as a carpenter. When his ministry began, he gathered together men and women and taught them about the kingdom that would come. And he did so all as an innocent man, never having sinned. And yet the biblical witness is that Jesus Christ took upon himself the sin of the world that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So Jesus Christ, although he was innocent, took upon himself a guilty verdict for us and for our salvation, and did so to provide us forgiveness from our sins. It's a forgiveness that frees us to enjoy the fullness of our fellowship with God the Father. It's a freedom that allows us to experience life without fear. Fear of today, fear of tomorrow, or fear of the hereafter no longer is part of our lives because Jesus Christ is in it, providing his comfort, his wisdom, his compassion, and his self-sacrificial forgiveness. And in that, we find and experience the fullness of love. And in that, we're once again brought back to the love of our moms, who made the love of Jesus Christ tangible to us through their love and their acts of mercy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our lifting up of our prayers of intercession and supplication. Join me as we pray. Wonderful God, like a deer longs for flowing streams of water, so too do our hearts yearn and thirst for you, O God. And yet, O God, we are truly blessed, for you have shared with us so much, including the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, who now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, vivifies us, makes us alive, awakening us to your mercy and to your grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for so many things, but most especially we thank you for our mothers. Thank you for their compassion, for their comfort, for their caring, for their teaching, for their kindness, for their love, Father God. We thank you for what they have meant to us and what they continue to mean. We pray for those who have lost their mothers, O Lord, for we know that that is a pain that never really quite heals, Father God. And so we pray for those today who are without mothers but long for them. We pray that you remind them that their mothers are safe, held in your most tender embrace. We pray that you would remind us that there will be one day a grand reunion between mothers and sons and daughters in the kingdom that comes, Father God. Be with us, Father God, in this dark and difficult time, a time in which we see sin and evil proliferate. O Lord, be with us as we seek to share your message to the world, a message of peace and healing, and most importantly, one of forgiveness, O Lord. Help us all remember that we're sinners and that have been forgiven by you, Jesus Christ, so that we might find forgiveness easy to extend to others. For all are guilty and fall short of your glory, and yet in your mercy you have forgiven us all. O Lord, we pray for those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. We think and continue our prayers for the family of Kathy Thompson, We pray for Pat Hager, who will have surgery tomorrow. We pray for Tom McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for all of the members and names on our prayer list, just as we pray for all of those names that we've lifted up silently in our hearts. Father God, to you belong all things, O Lord, and to you alone belong all honor and power and glory. We make these prayers to you in the strong and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed and having made our prayers of intercession and supplication, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. God, you are indeed a God of providence. You provide each of us according to our need. And now as we return a portion of those blessings back to you, we just ask, Father God, that you sanctify this offering, using it to do your will and work in this, your world. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I know many of us have been blessed by some incredible mothers, but we're all blessed with an incredible God, a God that gives us comfort, a God that provides us compassion, a God that teaches us through his wisdom, a God that moves us through his forgiveness. We are indeed a people that are truly blessed. And now may we go out into the world and live as though we are. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.